Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
And Fáilte Raisi Arís. Now, back in March, you'll remember, I was chatting to presenter and farmer Darragh McCullough after the birth of his daughter Grace. He was emotional, I think it's fair to say. Why wouldn't he be? 16 years into their marriage, himself and his wife Aoife had finally become parents after many disappointments along the way. And I'm delighted to say all three of them are in studio. Welcome, Aoife.
Thank you very much.
Grace is on your lap, I see, chewing on a giraffe. She's happy out. And Darragh, lovely to see you.
Oliver, good morning to you. You're all, good afternoon.
How's life at the minute?
Life is good, yeah. You can see Grace there. She's the picture of health. And we're doing a very good impression of a happy family. Yeah.
There goes the giraffe. And she has a cuddly cow. I see that's very important in a farming family.
Yeah.
She's very quiet and it's kind of an unnatural.
I think she's just in stunned silence there now, taking it all in. But she is fairly placid most of the time. She's fairly good.
How are you doing, Aoife? You look like a very well-rested woman for a small child.
I'm doing great, yeah. No, loving life now. It's going well so far. We're lucky because she is a good kind of easy baby. Like, she sleeps all night. I don't sleep all night, but she sleeps most nights.
You certainly don't. How old is she now?
She's 8 months now.
Yeah. Just 8 months.
Yeah.
At what stage? What are you doing at the minute? You're testing allergens and things like that.
Yeah, she's on her solid food, so we've been trying peanut butter and salmon and fish and all those kind of things. So we haven't found a food that she doesn't like yet.
How's that going? Yeah.
She's her father's daughter anyway.
He's delighted with himself over here.
Good groppers, McCullough's.
She gets hangry like him as well. So when it's food time, it's food time. She needs to eat.
You're on a career break. What did you do?
Yeah, I'm a teacher. I'm the principal in the local school. So I was very lucky that the board allowed me to take a career break for the year. Yeah. So
that's why that job is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I love it. I'm very, very lucky. I have a great staff down there. And very lucky that Joanne, the deputy, could step into my shoes. And she's doing an amazing job herself and Delia. So
well, you're flat
lucky.
Out anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Busy out.
Darragh, you pulling your weight?
Depends who you ask. The day of the week and the time of the day, but doing my best.
You're keeping everything going at the same time.
Yeah, look, sure, it's it was busy before Grace arrived on the scene, and now she's just added a little bit of extra jeopardy to the equation, you know.
But you're being told she's an easy baby.
Yeah, so obviously I don't have much to go on, but she sleeps through the night and she's eating away, and you know she's blooming, so we've a lot to be thankful for.
You do, and an extended family as well. There's a big extended family, particularly on your side.
Yeah, it wouldn't be huge now. So
probably bigger on my side. I've six siblings.
Oh, I see. Dara's.
Yeah, I've three.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, the other way around. Yeah. So you need to look to Aoife for all the cousins and the nephews and the nieces and all that. So they all dote on her, and when they all come down, it gives a shot at the baby, you know. So
there you go. Yes, here,
fights
take
for
her.
Who gets to feed her and who gets to push the buggy, and
that's very handy.
All that kind of thing. Yeah.
Now that your mum, Aoife, is especially important to you, tell us about your own mum.
So my mum passed away 25 years ago.
Very young.
So a lifetime ago. I suppose you always kind of, well, I suppose I assumed that, you know, being one of seven and my dad was one of seven, that we would have kind of naturally become parents easily. But life got in the way, and science kind of came to our aid. So, we're very lucky to be able to have Grace here with us today.
It was tough over those years.
Yeah,
you were together 16 years. I'm sure because it was only 16 years, people would be asking every other week.
Yeah,
you know,
especially at the start. And I think when your peers start to have children, I think you start to feel it then as well, when all your friends are kind of at Christmas time, I suppose, you know, when people are getting together and you're feeling that, you know, there's something missing in your life, that we had always wanted children. So, it was difficult, but I suppose we're on the other side of it now.
What was it like? And this is for both of you. What was it like being asked that, or the expectations? How did that feel?
You develop a little pattern.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go out, obviously meeting people up and down the country, and How's your own family doing? We don't have any kids. Oh, sorry about that. You know, and you could see they'd be all embarrassed. So then you would try and, you know, ease the moment and kind of joke your way out of it. But look, I mean,
and inside, how are you feeling?
Inside, yeah. Look, you get used to it, I suppose. Mm. Yeah, and
I was saying that you kind of don't like you know, going through IVF and stuff like that, you don't want to let yourself get hopeful for stuff like that. So, right. You know, there's a lot of disappointment that happens kind of through that process because you're, you know, constantly building yourself up physically, mentally, emotionally, and then a disappointment happens or nothing happens or there's no exit collection or whatever it is. So it can be a very disappointing time and then a lonely time because you don't really, it is a very private thing and you don't really mm-hmm. want to be discussing it with everybody else, so it kind of become your each other's sounding board.
And for you, you would have gone. Women tend to go to their own mums, don't they? About this,
yeah,
you didn't have that outlet.
Yeah. At that stage, my mum unfortunately wasn't with us. So I suppose Dara got the brunt of all emotions and feelings coming his way.
Did you kind of feel under pressure? Because we said you've just one nephew, is there? There's one grandchild in your
family. That's right, yeah. So us McCulloughs weren't doing a very good job at, ensuring that the name lived on or any of that kind of talk. And in some ways, it's kind of nonsense, isn't it? But in other ways, you know, it's you can't just dismiss it completely as completely irrelevant. And
millennia of society there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Particularly in a farm.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, farming is the ultimate of kind of traditional society where, you know, that's the whole idea of passing the land on from generation to generation and the sacrifices the previous generations would have made for you to have the asset that you have today. So, that was all in the mix. But the reality is you look around, I mean, infertility is all around us in society today. So it's not like, you know, I was thinking, woe is us and, you know, this is a terrible burden we've been sharing. It was just what life had thrown up at us.
Yeah. And lots of couples say, as a family of two, they find happiness.
Yeah.
And obviously you had happy years as well. Because
absolutely.
It was
a while. Yeah. No, we're very lucky, you know, that we're very happy and we have a good family surrounding us. And we have our dog, Ellie, at home, who was our first little Baba.
our fur baby.
Yeah. Her nose was a little bit put out of joint when Grace arrived.
I'd say,
it was like,
yeah.
Who do I have to share my humans with? It's great to have her here and to, you know, have our families, you know, like everybody, the reaction to when Dara came on with you in March, you know, the reaction was just amazing. People were,
I'm glad in a way because it proves she's here because she's so quiet. You barely know she was in the room.
Yeah, no, the reaction has been absolutely amazing. Like people were sending us stuff, like people that we had never met. People have been so kind with their thoughts and their words and their gifts.
And you've also been hearing from family as well with similar problems to yours.
Yeah,
before,
absolutely. Right? Yeah. So we'd be in WhatsApp groups and, you know, people have contacted me saying it was great to hear, especially Dara speaking about it, because oftentimes there wouldn't be a male voice.
That's right.
Or a male perspective about talking about it. And then again, the additional element of a farming, someone in a farming from a farming background talking about it, because again, I think that whole legacy thing of passing on the farm,
the succession,
the pressure is very much part of farming.
You went the surrogacy route. Was that a difficult decision?
I suppose it was one that we kind of didn't come to for a long time, mm-hmm. And I suppose we would have thought it was out of reach for us, that we would be just kind of like an ordinary couple, that, you know, this is something that is for celebs or something, for, you know, Kim Kardashian is doing surrogacy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until Dara was actually away on a stag one weekend and met somebody, a couple that had gone through it. So,
that's always the way,
yeah,
isn't it? Hearing
it's talking to somebody else and seeing how you get to do it, how is it manageable, you know, what you need to do.
Normalized
in
my brain, you know.
So it was no longer a thing from space. It was something you could achieve.
Yeah, because it is, it still is very much an outlier, you know. You don't, and regardless of the number of people that have children via surrogacy in Ireland today, you certainly don't hear them shouting about it too much. You know, for a lot of people, surprising the number of couples I've learned since we had Grace that have also had children via surrogacy, but, you know, not just don't want really necessary to make it a public thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's like totally
very little
cruel,
is private know? These days. Yeah. I mean, that would be a thing to keep private. Yeah. And you, because you're heard from other couples, this has really helped people, you talking about it.
Yeah, well, I think it's like a lot of things in society that are kind of taboo, and
Even things like infertility, like I suppose in the last couple of years, people are talking about it a lot more, like on Instagram or something like that. There's more people in the public forum who are talking about it. So I think when more people that talk about it probably makes it easier for somebody else to come out and go, well, actually, I had an issue with this, or, people are then more likely to kind of share that knowledge and the groups that they're in. You know, if we can give information to anybody or help anybody, that's, you know, a huge bonus for us.
She's smiling away here. She's the happiest, gorgeous, healthiest little child. And her genetics are both yours. You are the parents.
Yeah.
Was there an emotional aspect to that? The fact, particularly you as the mum.
Yeah, I suppose it felt very surreal when, you know, you're not actually pregnant or giving birth yourself. It's not until we kind of had her in our arms that you kind of feel that it's actually real. This is actually happening. You know, it's over there. It's happening over there. So. Yeah. It was great to have her in her arms and be able to take her home and meet the family. That's when it all started to get real, when she got to meet everybody.
When you see the face and you suddenly realise the responsibility, there's no question, you're mum.
Yeah, exactly.
No choice.
Yeah, it ends with us here.
The legal issues then, they're quite surprising, aren't they? The kind of hoops you have to go through.
Yeah. So Dara has gone through his part. So he has parentage, and that
the state recognised Dara.
Yeah, exactly.
Dad, full parentage rights.
Yeah. And he was allowed then apply for a passport for Grace. So we can travel with Grace now.
Okay. So who are you, according to the state, to Grace?
I'm the live-in nanny, I think. Am I? After 2 years, I can apply for guardianship for Grace. So there is a new assistive reproductive bill that is in the process, hopefully, of being enacted. It has been passed, but hasn't kind of been enacted. So hopefully within the coming months, I know a committee has been set up that that will be enacted. And then I think what is hoped is that there won't be a new birth certificate issued, but it'll be kind of like a surrogacy birth certificate.
I see,
and then I will be put down as mother on that.
Straight away.
Straight away. Yeah. And if that comes true. But at the moment, I have, you know, I couldn't bring Grace to the hospital with, you know, Dara is the legal guardian. I'm not.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must be on your mind.
Yeah, it is. I suppose in some ways we're kind of like, look, she's here and we have her, and we're very lucky that we're in a, most of the time, happy marriage. And that, you know, but like, I suppose there's always the risk if something falls apart, then, you know, I would be left in limbo.
Particularly because Dara travels for work, so, doesn't he, sometimes?
Yeah, like Dara was away in Canada and the States for 18 days.
Very, very long.
18 days. So, you know, thankfully nothing happened. But if something had happened with Grace during that time, you know, we could have been in a quandary with...
Because you would have gone to the hospital, they
said. Exactly.
Are you the mum and you couldn't lie?
I couldn't make decisions about if something needed to happen, that they would have to get in contact with Dara.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So you still have to wait how many more months before...
So she's 8 months now. So we have another 14 months to go before we can start the application then for guardianship.
Are there other things then that you don't qualify for at the moment?
So I didn't qualify for maternity leave for Grace. So
that's a big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal. So unfortunately, you know, the natural thing that you want to do is spend time at home with your baby, with your brand new baby. And I was lucky that I had the support, but I ended up having to take a career break this year. And as I said, I was lucky that my school and my board of management supported that. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky to be in a position that we're able to afford that. But like other families may not be in that position to do that. Grace gets a children's allowance. We get a children's allowance for her, which is great. Everything else like that. I get the 9 weeks parents leave, the social welfare. That's what I would qualify for. Yeah.
But there is a kind of it seems unnecessary, the legal limit. That's kind of what you're...
It basically, the law has to catch up with the realities on the ground. You know, like families are created in lots of other ways now, compared to the days when the law was written. And so science has overtaken the law and the legal framework, and it just needs to catch up. And it's painfully slow catching up. And, you know, I didn't want to wait around for another 5 or 10 years. Bad enough, my mates will be collecting the pension. I'd be still turning up at parent-teacher meetings, you know. So,
and I suppose the law has been slow because it's been trying to take account of all the various legal issues, ethical issues that are there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done everything above board and as ethically as you possibly can. You're in touch still with the surrogate mum.
Absolutely, and you know, it's really important for anyone that was thinking about doing the journey that you would talk to a solicitor first. Like Annette would be a solicitor involved with surrogacy, so it's really important because the law is changing, it would be really important that people would know what they need to do and how they need to keep on the right side of the law.
And the law in Ireland is there's no commercial surrogacy here, so couples have to go abroad.
Yeah.
And different countries have different rules.
So yes,
you
exactly.
do need a legal person, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's incredibly complicated.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So that's why it's really important that you have somebody who knows the system and knows what the Irish government kind of expect to come back into the country. Like we would have had to get Grace an emergency passport to come back in through the embassy out in Cyprus. So,
For you, there are kind of vaccination appointments and things, but you couldn't bring Grace on your own.
No, Dara would have to attend those, or you know, the ones that take place with our doctor once he has kind of given the go ahead with the doctor surgery that we would know. But anything like the RSV vaccine that she got a couple of weeks ago, that was through a health centre, and he would have had to turn up for that as legal guardian. Yeah,
as a legal guardian.
Yeah, even booking the appointment, he has to book
it.
Yeah.
And what kind of questions do you go through on the phone that you just... it's like a checkpoint in a
way. Yeah, I suppose you probably could get away without doing it, but it asks you, are you legal guardian of the child? So, you know, we don't want to be answering no that we're not. Yeah, exactly. And telling lies or anything like that.
Well, look, it's a lovely story.
Yeah.
And you're busy at the moment, Ear to the Ground, back on air.
Ear to the Ground's back on air, so we're filming away, and there's always something happening in the farming community. As you know, bird flu is in the headlines, and
you're a poultry, you've poultry, don't you?
Yeah, well, look, we've 100 hens at home, and so it's minuscule compared to, you know, I was speaking to a poultry farmer on the way up here as it happened, and like they're just on tenterhooks at the moment because, you know, the idea that every morning you go down to your poultry house and open the door and you could be faced with hundreds, if not thousands, of birds sick or dying on the spot.
It's just time of the
horrendous
year, it's unbelievable.
Prospect, you know, and the pressure that those guys are under stress, it'd be off the scale.
So we're all locked up now, aren't they? The free
all
range
locked
element
up,
is
but
be...
that's still no guarantee that they're not going to get bird flu. Right. You know, it can come through the vents, it can come, it can be airborne, and there's it's just a hugely worrying time for all those guys. I mean, I have 100 hens at home, but nobody is depending on my 100 hens for a wage, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different ballgame.
That's the stress for farmers. What about customers who are hit with the price of cost of living? They're going to be more expensive because there'll be fewer of them? Or
I definitely think that supply is going to be tighter. I mean, there may be more imported turkey brought into the country between now and Christmas week. I think that's very likely. But, you know, with every extra turkey farm that goes down, the supply is going to get tighter. And, you know, I think what's going to be tight at the end of the day is those premium free range bronze turkeys, because they're the ones that aren't really imported into the country.
and they can't be free range at the minute because they can't get outside.
It's difficult to be free range when bird flu is swilling all around us.
Well, good luck to the poultry farmers. I think Grace is signalling that she needs to wrap up now. She's back in mum's arms. Congratulations to
thanks so much.
Sure, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in and chatting about this, because as you say, people keep it very private. I think you're helping a lot of people.
Thank you.
And have a lovely first Christmas together as a three.
Thanks so much. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all we've left really to say. Good luck and be safe. Yeah. Bye-bye, Grace.
Bye.
Thanks for coming in.
Bye, Oliver.
We'll take a break. Bye-bye.
551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.